Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. So we decided to dig deep into our pool of resources and find the smartest person willing to come on the podcast this week. And we came up with a really, really, really cool guest. It's Rudy. No, just kidding. Rudy's actually being held hostage by a cartel whose leader is currently fourth in his Mexican Baseball League roto standings. So we're hoping to see him again come September, fingers crossed. However, we do intend to blow your mind this week by having the co-founder and CEO of Classic Baseball LLC on, Mr. Spencer Witte. What makes Classic Baseball so interesting is that they're actually a consulting firm hired by multiple pro teams to project player injuries. So basically, he's the guy who's going to accurately project whether or not your pitcher's arm is going to blow up, which is a pretty handy skill to have. He's also got an in-game baseball app called Fangame, where you can beat the snot out of fellow participants live in stadium. And why wouldn't you want to do that? So this guy knows his baseball. Maybe we can call him Mr. Baseball. Is that already taken? Of course, we'll also have JB on to discuss the Daily Fantasy Report. All that plus Gray Albright and nobody. That's right, I got nobody else today. I got so much with Spencer Witte that, you know, him and Gray, we're good. We're good. From the FreeRudyFromTheCartel.com studio, it's the Razzball Podcast for the week of August the 12th. Here we go. I promised you an off-the-charts, smarty-pants of a guest. We have Spencer Witte on. He is the CEO and co-founder of Classic Baseball LLC, as well as the guy who put together Fangame, which is an amazing in-game application to play against other people in the stadium. We'll talk about that in a second. But Spencer, I'd like to welcome you to the Razzball Baseball Podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Nick. Appreciate it.
So no pressure that I introduced you as such a smart guy, Spencer, but I figure it was pretty warranted as I was going through a lot of the baseball stuff you've put together over the years.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do appreciate it. We've had a pretty good run of 5 years with this one company, and we think we're doing some pretty cool things.
Awesome. So I want to make sure I understand this properly. Classic Baseball LLC is basically a consulting firm for, let's say, pitcher health strategies. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it would be an understanding of risk. You know, we're basically risk managers, and we help a team identify pitchers that would be most and least likely to be injured going forward.
So you're kind of like pitching underwriters.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I just had a bit of fun with Spencer just because our audience, as much as they want the hardcore baseball talk, they also want me to throw some curveballs at you.
Yeah.
So I know you can't talk specifically about specific teams, but what are the types of information a team would be looking for if they were going to bring you on as a pitching injury consultant?
I guess to make my pitch, I hope I'd have a little bit more time than the time it would take to enter and exit an elevator. But we at this point we start with the credibility we've established. We're tackling a problem that pretty much every team is trying to solve, and the answers have been mostly elusive. And the question is, how do you know or how can you know if a pitcher you've drafted or otherwise acquired is going to spend a year or more on the shelf or just become a total bust? Pitching, as we know, is a volatile commodity, and the biggest contributor to that volatility is, whether a pitcher can stay healthy or is healthy when you take him.
Okay, so let's play out a scenario. I just made $3 billion with penny stocks. So I'm a Montrealer originally, so I'm going to blow all my money. I'm going to bring the Expos back to Montreal. you can go longer than an elevator pitch. Tell me why, as the owner of an MLB team, I definitely need you guys in there.
Again, you know, we are addressing a problem that needs to be solved. We've had a lot of success. We've had, you know, relationships that we've expanded with six major league teams, 100% client retention. Everybody seems to be happy. We increase organizational depth. We improve pitcher performance, usually with velocity spikes and sustained velocity. And, you know, we contribute to an overall better and fuller decision-making process, everything from whether or not to acquire a pitcher in the first place, what role, starter or reliever, he fits into, to where his innings limits following an injury could be pegged, you know, to what kind of contract to extend to him in the first place. So we emphasize that it's not really about limiting DL trips, although it is that too, but it's about maximizing value and playing better odds toward getting upper-level performance more consistently.
So are you looking at a number? Are you looking at mechanics? Is it a combination? I'm kind of, obviously, I'm not going to get your secret sauce, but I'm curious as to, you know, what exactly you guys are looking at.
Yeah, our evaluations are based solely on mechanics. You know, we can make recommendations about a pitcher, and numbers play into that understanding. But so far as risk going forward is concerned, teams want standardized information. So if I were to, you know, if I give you a concrete example, somebody like Gabe Helpson, who was selected second overall in the 2011 draft, you know, at UVA, he was a world beater. He was 12-3, 165 Ks across 118 innings. So that's outstanding numbers, left-hander, top collegiate conference. If we let those numbers influence us, we probably would have evaluated him, you know, more auspiciously. And we didn't, because we can't do that. And Halston was a high risk for us in 2011. And we were probably, you know, one of the few voices in America that was saying that that kind of information should be factored in and considered strongly when deciding to take him at the top of the draft. You know, he may still have a great career ahead of him, but he's spent the better part of this last year, you know, on the DL with the shoulder.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I wanted to specifically stay away from teams or players, just because I would assume you have confidentiality agreements with major league teams.
Pretty heavy.
But let's, could I throw out a prospect name and maybe talk about, you know, how you would look at him?
Yeah, I think we can do that.
Okay, so just yesterday, I know personally I'm a big fan of Keith Law, and he tweeted that a ton of scouts are heading out to Hawaii to watch, I think his name is Cody Medeiros, a left-handed high school junior, I think. Sidearm pitcher, throws in the mid-90s with consistency. So are you going to start looking at him in his high school starts? Are you going to try and flag things mechanically? I was kind of curious how you would look at a specific player case.
Yeah, actually, I saw Law's tweet as well. So, you know, with the 2014 class, that work is going to start pretty soon here for us. But my life, the last 5 years, has been spent, you know, basically poring over over videotape and watching it very slowly and looking for any number of about 220 different things on the way towards evaluating these pitchers and deciding where the risk is. So I'm sure he's going to be on the list. If Law was impressed with him, that's something that we are going to, you know, hope he included in the information that we provide to our teams.
Right.
But I couldn't say at this point. You know, part of Law's tweet was that he's a sidearmer, and that could mean quite a lot. But generally speaking, sidearmers, you know, true sidearmers, are going to rarely will they fall into a low risk category. More often than not, they ultimately end up in relief roles going forward.
So you tell me Kenta Culvey was not a low-risk pitcher?
I don't know. You know, we'll have to give him a good look over the next year. You know, but just based on that one piece of information, we'd say it's a little less likely that he will fall into that category. But he could still.
Okay. I know, again, you can't talk specific teams, and I really don't. We've never had a discussion about who you've actually worked with. But I will say this. We're based out of Toronto here for the Razzball podcast. I'm going to start taking up a collection, literally with a Blue Jays hat, going bar to bar. And the fans themselves, I think, are just going to try and buy your information and maybe slide it under Mr. Alex Anthopoulos' door. Because I know organizationally,
we
just see arm after arm after arm going down.
It'll be the groundswell. We appreciate that. we always appreciate more business, but yeah, that's about all I can say on that.
Okay, fair enough. Do you guys actually look at if you're actually contracted by a team, do you actually look at the medical records as well? I mean, are you going over MRIs, or is this strictly based on tape?
I guess going back a ways, I mean, this is a father and son business. So between the two of us, we have 13 years of experience in this area, going all the way back to the St. Louis Cardinals, who we no longer work with. We started the company and broke with them. We spent 2 months on the road that first year, just being with teams across spring training for free, and just trying to generate business. And one of the questions that we consistently got was, where's the medical analysis? At this point, we've got the credibility to say what we're doing is working very well. But our opinion on that is that medical reports are, of course, hugely important, but they're necessarily retrospective. They look at, what a pitcher has done to date and what that experience has done to the pitcher's arm. And our work has big implications for the draft of potential international player signs because it's predictive. You can have a 17-year-old with perfect medical records, and he'll be, anything but a picture of good health when they're 23 or 24. And so that's where our work comes in, because it does look forward and not really back.
Is there any interest from players specifically? For example, if someone knew that they had good mechanics, would there be any possibility of them saying, hey, Classic Baseball LLC, come take a look at us. We'll hire you because that's going to give us better leverage when negotiating our draft contracts.
So we have been reached out to by a couple of agents, and we understand that this work would have huge value, both in terms of leverage, but also in an agency's decision to take on a young pitcher in the first place. We're not really entertaining that side of the business right now, because our relationships do mean so much to us. The ones we have with teams are everything. So we don't want to really play both sides of that equation.
Okay. No, that's fair. I was just curious. I was trying to, slide you some business development ideas, Spence. That's it. I got one more question on Classic Baseball. So we know historically that certain types of pitches are believed to cause damage, i.e. a curveball. I know you're looking at mechanics, but are you looking at pitch selection? And second to that, do you find that certain pitches and you don't have to give the data away, but do you find that maybe what we believe as a general population might not be accurate in terms of what pitches cause what types of damage?
So I think it's an area for future research. My advice to fathers out there would be, that next pitch for a 13 or 14-year-old after the fastball should probably be the changeup. What we've probably have a pretty good understanding of right now is that overuse of sliders would contribute more to injury. But our work, again, with the idea that this information really needs to be standardized, our evaluations of pitchers' mechanics need to be standardized, doesn't take into account, pitch selection. At this point, just to give you kind of a rough sense of our data, over the last four draft years, we've had five pitchers that we designate as low risk experience surgery, relative to 75 in the high risk category. And shoulder surgeries are in a ratio of 30-1, high risk to low risk. So what we're doing is working. That doesn't mean it couldn't be better, and we're constantly trying to improve. Teams do seem satisfied with what we've been able to provide so far.
That's fascinating, Spencer. And for me, I mean, I've been bugging you to come on the podcast for since the beginning of the season because I'm so fascinated with this. To me, this is just a whole other level of analytics. So it's really exciting for me. So I do really appreciate that stuff. I just want to talk quick, if you don't mind, if I can just steal you for another minute. I want to talk about FanGame.
Yeah, sure.
I also love applications. I love the in-game fan experience. But also, too, my age group, let's call the ADHD generation, it's tough for me sometimes to sit at a ballpark and be engaged the whole time. And I've always been looking for a product that I think you brought to the table here with FanGame. Why don't you give me a quick overview of it?
Yeah, we think it puts a really cool spin on fantasy baseball and just a new, fresh way to experience a live baseball game. Nick, the experience of sitting at home, you got your beers, you got your pals, it doesn't cost you much. You've got your flat screen TV and you've got all your devices working and you have apps for that. So what we wanted to do was introduce that technology into the stadium. You know, there should be an app that's more interactive in that stadium setting.
Right.
But we wanted to do it in a way that's constructive. We don't want people sitting there, you know, banging away on their phones while they're supposed to be experiencing the game. So we brought fantasy baseball into the stadium. You know, you can go to a stadium. We're in four right now, four major league stadiums. We're in San Francisco and San Diego and Miami and Citi Field in New York. And that list will grow, hopefully, very soon. And you check in and you decide which players you think are going to, you know, between those two teams, going to perform well that day. And you select those players. And that immediately creates a real-time competition, you know, between fans. You can make predictions on what you think is going to happen that game. And so, you know, if you're going to a game either by yourself or with your son and you think your son might get a little bored by the seventh inning, this is a way to keep them engaged. They actually care who might be coming up to bat, you know, in a blowout in the seventh inning.
And because you're playing against other people in the stadium only, right?
Yeah. Well, so right now it's a nationwide competition, but we want to move toward, you know, this is version 1.0. We think it has a lot of promise. We want to move toward, you know, this more granular competition where people can actually say, I'm the best fan in the stadium today. So different levels of competition is something that we're looking to incorporate. But again, it's a much more interactive experience. We just launched, if you have an iPhone, you just search in the App Store for Fan Game Baseball, Fan Game being one word. And, you know, we're definitely interested in feedback on the features and just how it worked in the stadium. But it's all real time. It's all, you know, really pretty cool.
And I think you're onto something because, you know, I'm a big baseball guy, big football guy. I know that in NFL stadiums this year, I think, if I'm not mistaken, all NFL teams are going to be running NFL Red Zone 24/7. If you're not familiar with that, with what that is,
yeah,
it's all the literally teams in the red zone from around the league. So obviously the NFL understands and is trying to engage the client, you know, in terms of fantasy football. And I'm just curious, to me, I find that Major League Baseball, in terms of its digital offerings online, is fantastic. It's probably a leader in sports, but I definitely think that there's opportunity to engage on the, you know, in-game level. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what else you guys come up with,
yeah,
in the future.
I agree with everything you just said. NFL seeing declining attendance in stadium, and they're definitely trying to tackle it head on. MLB is just the absolute industry leader in terms of what they produce. But it's really, most of it is geared towards, you know, the guy on the couch. And so we want to make that stadium experience more exciting. So that's what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. Spencer, we really enjoyed having you on the Razzball Baseball Podcast today. You know, hopefully in the future we can drag you out again. And definitely going to keep up with everything you're working on with Classic Baseball as well as Fan Game.
Cool. Thanks, Nick. Really, really good time. I appreciate you having me on.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. And, of course, we're joined, as always, by JB Gilpin on Twitter at JBGILPIN. If you ever have daily fantasy questions or start-sit advice, he's the guy to talk to. And, of course, you can follow DraftKings at DraftKings on Twitter. JB, welcome to the Daily Fantasy Report.
Hey, man. It's good to be here. It's good to be here a winner again.
You finished sixth last week in the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. That's fantastic. You're improving.
Exactly. And if I could, okay, so I'm gonna do you being me. I got sixth.
Whoa, you're going to do you?
I got sixth place this week. That's better than ninth, I think.
In case you missed it last week, JB was traveling to Oklahoma, so I interviewed JB and I played the role of JB.
So I got to do me doing you.
Let's talk business, because August the 23rd is rapidly approaching, and that is the $100,000 sweet spot contest. And if you want one of the $200, how much is it for the entry fee? Is it $200?
I think it's $100 if you buy straight into it.
But there's lots of step campaigns where you can get in for as little as a couple bucks to get in to try and win tickets to that. But of course, you can win one of those entries directly this Friday playing with Rudy from Razzball. It's every Friday nights. So what JB does, he writes the post on Wednesday. It's only for Razzballers. What you do is you click to the link and that takes you to the contest. Really small numbers, really inexpensive to get in. It's $5. You can win a ton of dough, but also, again, they give us all these bonus entries into the really big contest. So it's definitely worth it if you are part of Razzball Nation. What do you like this week, JB?
You know, this week I like AJ Burnett. He's actually got 8 strikeouts in 5 of his last 6 games. And as you know, if you've been playing DraftKings, or if you're new to it this week, if your pitcher gets strikeouts, that's how they rack up the points, and that's how you're going to get your money. If you have a guy like last week, I had Matt Garza, and his stat line looked kind of similar to Chris Archer's, but he got 8 strikeouts versus Archer and only had 2 or 3, and yet Garza put up 12 more points. So you definitely want those guys that get the strikeouts. Another guy that is a little bit interesting is R.A. Dickey, if his price is, you know, pretty solid because he's going against Tampa Bay. He owns the Rays. Dickey slowly turning his season a little bit around. But, you know, the strikeout potential's there. The Rays never seem to hit him. Those are probably going to be my 2 pitchers.
Now, remember, you always have a better opportunity as a member of Razzball Nation to win a DraftKings, and that's because if you take advantage of the tools like the Streaminator, like the Hittertron on Razzball, those give you great daily matchups. So it's basically a cheat for Razzball Nation. So go ahead and take advantage of the rest of the United States of America.
Yeah, man, it's going to be another fun week. Hopefully, I can get another top 10 finish and definitely go for that first place finish and get in that sweet spot.
Awesome. Listen, JB, I want to make it a mission this week that we jam up that contest real quick. So I tell you what, I'm in for sure. Are you going to play Friday?
I'm in for sure. JB Razzball, it's my username.
All right, good stuff. I'm in there as Podcast Kings. Let's go and let's blow it up. I want to have a big contest this week because I want to get, I want to beat you guys to get that $100,000 entry myself.
Yeah, man, I'll be tweeting with you guys during the whole thing then. That way I can distract you while you're taking your night off from the family watching baseball.
It's on, buddy. Can't wait. I'll see you Friday. Play with Rudy from Razzball Contest at DraftKings. Get the link Wednesday at Razzball.com. Talk to you soon, JB.
Take it easy, man. Thanks for having me.
Getting to know Gray.
Time for our weekly segment with the closer, Gray Albright. Gray, nice to have you on the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Hey, it's good to be here, Nick.
So, you know, Gray, I'm starting to worry about Rudy. There's a rumor that he's being held hostage by a Mexican cartel whose leader is currently 4th in his Mexican Baseball League Roto standings. So, I mean, we're hoping for a safe return.
No, that's completely inaccurate. He's in the Caribbean right now scouting for new blog writers.
Are the Cuban fantasy writers defecting?
Right now, Rudy's wearing a fedora, a pink blazer, a patterned button-down shirt, and patting sweat off his brow in Cuba. He was trying out this new Cuban kid in a small town outside of Havana called Cigarillo. And the kid had good snark, but he went long for a pun, and he ran into a wall and knocked himself out.
So what was his snark on the 20-80 scale?
It was good. It was probably a solid 80.
And do you find...
He didn't know his limits, like so many of these young blog writers.
So are you telling me then the plan is to have a Latino version of Razzball?
Yes, Razzballo.
Razzballo Jimenez.
Oh, shoot. I better make sure that's registered.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. It is a lot of fun trying to corral the crew here, the crew of writers. It's like herding cats.
You should hear Nicoliso, our Spanish podcast announced. It sounds a lot like the Bumblebee Man from The Simpsons.
If I write something out in Spanish and a Spanish speaker gives me all the pronunciations on it, I've actually done that before. I've gone on stage and actually done a very short speech in Spanish based purely on the phonetics.
Yeah, well, you know, you're doing like the hokey pokey in Spanish, but you think you're saying something else.
You know what? True story. First time I ever did it, I was on a cruise ship that was docking out of San Juan, Puerto Rico, and on the weekend, it was a 3-day run, and it was 95% Puerto Ricans. So I still had to go up and do my speech, and they told me to do it in English. And I said, that doesn't make sense. So I speak French. So French and Spanish, there's a similarity. I had one of the front desk girls from Chile write out what I wanted in Spanish. She held me through it phonetically, and I paced around my cabin for about 3 or 4 hours till I memorized it. And part of it's still ingrained, but I started with
Lo siento por mi poco español, pero estoy aprendiendo. You know, sorry for my poor Spanish. I'm learning. Standing ovation from the Puerto Ricans. I came off and the cruise director was like, what did you say?
They threw plantains on the stage, which is the highest compliment in Puerto Rico.
Hey, let's talk a little fantasy baseball, because there's a lot going on. I know. You know, some people have thrown in the towel, but there is still a lot going on. So there's a little kind of shift towards next year on these questions. But Jason Hayward has been crazy hot the last 2 weeks. But overall, it's fair to say it's been a terrible season. What do you see him doing next year? Is he ever going to gain a level of consistency?
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility for it. I think, first of all, to say he hasn't been good this season is a slight understatement. He has 10 homers and 2 steals, and he's batting .247. He's
right.
He's been right now on the player radar. I see he's ranked the same as some other stalwarts as Vin Mazzaro, Kelvin Herrera, Tyler Chatwood, LaTroy Hawkins, and my favorite, mi novio, Salvador Perez. That's the company he's keeping right now for this year. So, yeah, he's had a terrible year. In the last 2 weeks, you're right, he has been better, at least in average. He hasn't really shown much power. He's got one homer in the month of August and no steals. He is hitting over .380 though. I think next year there's the chance for him to find himself with back to where he was last year. He's still very young, and I wouldn't be surprised if he hit 25 plus homers and had 15 to 20 steals again. To trust him, no. I don't think there's any way you can trust him until he's actually doing it. I think you take a flyer on him as a late, as a maybe a mid-round third outfielder, say, in the late hundreds, or maybe 75 to 100, somewhere in that range is probably where he's drafted.
Even that high, you think? I guess so. I guess people will be looking for a bounce back.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of potential there, and like I said, he's not old. It's not like it's Kadir having a bad season, and you're like, well, he's 33 years old, and he's probably not going to bounce back in any sort of way. So
okay. Speaking of
not that Kadir's having a bad season. Hayward's much worse than Kadir.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of Cuban defectors, Jose Fernandez has been, his stuff is just dirty. I mean, he's been fantastic. I know there's definitely a slight advantage in pitching in the Criolla Canyon, but I will point out that last year, Scott, our prospect whisperer, Scott_Rasball on Twitter, said that Jose Fernandez could be the big breakout this year. I mean, he was way ahead of the curve, and it was all based on his stuff and mechanics. Very repeatable delivery. As good as he's been this year, where do you see him going next year?
Well, in our the first buy sell of the year, my lead was Jose Fernandez. I told everyone to buy him before the first game of the season. With that said, I would say he's easily top 20, probably top 15. Who's going in front of him? Kershaw, Scherzer, Darvish, Efher, Wainwright, Bumgarner, Harvey, Strasburg, maybe Zimmerman and Lee, Sale. I mean, there's not, as good as pitching is, like, the thing is with pitching, I feel like there's a huge valuable middle where there's some really good top guys, but there's a lot of guys you can get for value in the middle where you don't necessarily need a top guy. And that's how it was this year. I think that's how it's going to be next year. So there is going to be, there's elite arms aren't really, it isn't like there's 40 30 to 40 elite arms. There's only maybe, 15 elite ones, but then there's a lot after them that give you plenty of value where you don't really need an elite one. I think Jose Fernandez is an elite one. So wherever the cutoff is for elite arms, he's going to be right at the edge there. So probably top 15, maybe where you see where you saw me rank Matt Moore this year. So, yeah, Matt Moore's another one who's right around Jose Fernandez. You get 200 plus Ks, possibility for a very low average. I think because of the division with Jose Fernandez and the park, you're in a situation where he's going to be probably even more valuable than Matt Moore, but right around right around there, 15 to 17 overall.
Just give me a quick, there's two names you threw out that I think I'd rather gamble on Fernandez than, but I'd be happy with any of them. But would you take Fernandez over Sale and or Zimmerman? Rank those three for me in 2014.
Say Zimmerman, Sale, Fernandez, probably as of right now, because if I'm taking a starter that high where they're going to be going, I'm going to want someone who's got a more of a track record and who's a little bit safer. I mean, there's no reason you should. I don't think there's any reason to gamble on Jose Fernandez in the top 15, hoping he then becomes a top 10 to 5 starter. It's like, yeah, there's the possibility there, but why are you gambling on hoping 15 becomes 5 when you can gamble on a 15th ranked starter just staying at 15 and being a Zimmerman or Sale? I'll take 15. I don't think there's any reason to really go for broke with your first starter, which if you're taking him 15th overall, he's your first starter. Otherwise, you have way too much pitching already.
I love it when you're conservative, Gray.
Thanks.
We've brought up Chris Davis a couple times, but just because of the season he's had, here's a quick question. His average has been coming down to earth, but he's still jacking. Obviously, he's a bona fide first rounder next year, at least I think so. But how high in the first round would you take Chris Davis next year?
I think he's right at the bottom of the first round, about where I would take Prince Fielder this year. Obviously that didn't work out because Fielder's having an off year for power. I think, to throw the side note of, I think Prince Fielder season's been totally fine for the most part. He hasn't really been bad. But anyway, Chris Davis, I would say his projections are going to look close to, they're going to be about 40 homers and 270 average for next year. That's in the 8 to 11 slot on your local AM dial, in your draft board.
Again, I love it when you're conservative. Hey, speaking of conservative, Mike Trout, we were all kind of conservative on what he could do this year. We all thought he was unbelievable. I don't think he's getting enough kind of publicity for he's really having a better year than he did last year.
He's having a comparable year. I don't know if it's better.
I think if you look at his advanced metrics, a lot of the numbers are better this year than last year. I think the steals are down and the power's down a bit, but I think across the board, everything else.
What's better?
Now, you know what? Now I've gone and put myself on the spot. I'm not prepared, Gray. All right. I'll bring that back up next week. How about that?
I'll save you a little bit. His K rate is better this year. His walk rate's much better. He is he's hitting.
Both are way better, actually.
Yeah. His on-base percentage is way better. He looks like he's a better hitter, but not necessarily for fantasy. I mean, he's doing about the same for power, and his steals are down, and his RBIs and runs are pretty close if you would prorate his last season for if you were to add another 10 games to his last season. I think he's around the same for counting stats. So I think the steals being down is probably what has people a little less excited about him. But, yeah, he's having a great season. He's a number one, number two pick. I mean, it's either him or Miggy at this point in any league, except, for NLL.
You know what my big mistake was? I tried to mix baseball and fantasy baseball. I mean, it's like oil and water.
Yeah, no, that happens occasionally. Rookie mistake, man.
Hey, speaking of rookies, Matt Harvey is better than ever. I mean, he's just, right now he looks unstoppable. Is he the greatest thing to happen to the Mets since the 86 team got a reliable Coke dealer?
A reliable Coke dealer is like a jumbo shrimp, airline food, or soft rock. They just don't exist, Nick. I'm sorry. There is no reliable Coke dealers.
All right, not that you'd know. But how good is Matt Harvey? Is this a case of he's just going through the National League the first time, I guess second time now? Or is he potentially really this good?
Or the third time. He is this good. He's got the best, he's got some of the best peripherals in baseball right now for pitchers. It's not smoke and mirrors. I think he's definitely doing as well as he could possibly be doing, and it doesn't look fluky at all. He's the greatest thing to happen to the Mets since they found a new Mr. Met and replaced A.J. Mace, or Mace, or Mass. I don't even know his name. What's his name?
I don't know.
The guy on I sense you're a little bit in the dark here, and you're not sure what I'm talking about. The one of the writers for ESPN's fantasy used to be Mr. Met. Did you not know this?
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking. I don't know his AJ Mace? Mass? I don't know who. I don't know his name.
I think you mean AJ Mass.
It's AJ Mass then. Yeah, he used to be Mr. Met. I swear to God, I'm not even joking.
All right. I love it when you're conservative.
Yeah, Google that shit.
Hey, a couple more names for you. Justin Smoke looked like the biggest bust since Chris Davis before last year. What are his future prospects?
He needs to get out of Safeco and learn how to hit lefties. I think, assuming the first is possible, the second I don't think is. At this point, he's a platoon player. He's got 13 homers and a 300-plus average against righties, and he's hitting in the 180s with no homers against lefties. It's kind of a joke that the Mariners are even playing him against lefties at this point. I think he should be benched against all lefties in fantasy.
Hmm. Okay, that's fair. Last question today. Darvish is still killing it, and I think a lot of people thought he'd slow down in the midsummer heat. Is he the first pitcher off your board in 2014?
Is he the first pitcher off my board?
Yep.
You like how I turned your question into my question. I'm taking a class at the University of Phoenix for podcast guest hosting. Watch out, Nick. Me and my teacher have been practicing on this homeless person posing as you. No.
I'm easily replaceable. Kyle, the producer, not so much.
No, the first pitcher off the board, the first pitcher is Kershaw.
Okay.
I think in every league, it's got to be. Darvish is good. He's probably number two at this point. Two or three, somewhere in there. But Kershaw's number one easily.
Great. Do me a favor. If you talk to Rudy, tell him I miss him.
All right, I will. You should send him some cigars, Cuban cigars are legal in Canada, right? Send him Cuban cigars to Cuba. So this way, because right now he's in Cuba without any cigars. It's really out of place.
I can picture him walking down the streets of Old Havana wearing a shirt jack.
Oh, poor Rudy. Yeah. All right, then, Nick. Hey, keep it real.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on the Razzball Baseball Podcast. Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help? Well, you have
There's only one joke in Yeltsin, I'm already on Moises. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Raz Ball Podcast. It's the Raz Ball Podcast. It's the Raz Ball Podcast.